the resting quality can be experienced with whatever is happening. It doesn't mean when the mind touches into that rest that the experience will be calm or easy or pleasant. Although the experience of the rest is quite pleasant, what awareness may be knowing may be painful or chaotic. Sometimes with that experience of rest, it can feel like there's a little bit of separation, of distance with the experience. And perhaps we might think that that's how the rest can happen. There's also the experience of resting right in the middle of whatever experience is arising, no separation, chaotic, unpleasant. The rest really is the wise attitude. The rest is the recognition or the understanding that there can be ease with whatever is arising. And there are times, of course, as I've said repeatedly, that this rest or the capacity to settle back and just let awareness do its job. Sometimes the objects are, and the momentum of the reactivity is more powerful than our capacity to be resting with. And so the wisdom, the discernment to understand when that's possible and when there does need to be some more engagement, bringing in either some more intentional connecting with awareness, connecting with experience, or using our tools to redirect the attention or to broaden the attention. So the mind is not so collapsed on what is nourishing that reactivity. But there can be times when we can settle into that sense of rest, and it can be a support too for us at times. This reflection arose for me last night when I was preparing my meal. And the body and mind were quite exhausted. The body was in pain. And the question arose in the mind, can the mind rest with this? Because I felt the mind kind of fighting with what was happening to try to push through it in order to get my meal prepared so I could sit down and rest. And the question arose, can I rest already? Why wait? Why wait to rest? And there was some capacity to do that, but it came and went. Just that question supported much more ease, much more moments of rest in that experience. There was a question left for me about how the factors of awakening connect with this practice. The factors of awakening, mindfulness. We're working with that one. Investigation, curiosity about meeting experience. We're working with that one. Energy. And these the factors of awakening can be understood almost as a sequence of an unfolding of the possibility of each one supporting the others. They don't have to be seen in that way, but they can. It can be seen almost as a trajectory of our path of practice. With mindfulness, engagement, interest, curiosity about what's skillful, what's unskillful. Energy rises, skillful energy rises. And with the meeting of experience, sometimes the next factor of the Eightfold Path, joy, is understood to come with concentration or to be come with the mind that is moving into concentration. The next three factors of awakening, joy, tranquility, concentration, sometimes are pointed to in directed attention practice in terms of the stability of mind that comes with being with an object. In this practice, the joy, the tranquility, the concentration arise with the wise attitude. They are a natural result of meeting experience. This is one of the reasons I encourage checking in when it feels like things are going smoothly, as opposed to kind of just settling back, oh yeah, it's going well. What's in the mind? When there is that ability to rest and just receive, the factors of awakening can be available to be seen there. And they are cultivated by being seen. Awareness of joy, awareness of calm, wise attitude, wise awareness of joy, wise awareness of calm increases, creates the conditions to increase their likelihood of continuing to arise, their likelihood of arising more frequently in the future. So mindfulness is how these qualities are strengthened. Concentration in this practice is the stability of the awareness to be with the experience without being pulled out into reactivity. So, a different flavor of concentration than the focused, directed attention. That experience of rest might be a flavor of concentration. And then equanimity, the seventh factor of awakening, that ability, that capacity to be with experience, whatever it is, without being pulled into reactivity. That one is, that factor of awakening is actively encouraged for cultivation in this particular practice. And I think in most awareness practices, we are exploring the possibility of not being reactive to what's happening, noticing what's in the way of equanimity. Noticing when the reactivity arises. And we particularly notice in this practice when there is that balance of mind, when there is wise attitude, a mind that can be with whatever is happening without there being a problem making around it. All of these seven factors are mental formations. They are activities of mind, and they shape our experience. And so there's the inclination or the movement in the direction of shaping them through the practice. The cultivation of mindfulness, investigation, and energy. Saito Tejaniya, in speaking about this, speaks about those first three as being the doing side of the seven factors. And the rest of them are the results of practice. So the activity of mindfulness, the activity of curiosity and being with, and the energy that comes from that are conditions that support the arising of these factors of awakening. And then as the factors of awakening become stronger, become more available, and there's awareness of them, they begin to shape our experience. And that's the point when it really does begin to feel like the practice doesn't take so much work, take so much effort. It just unfolds quite naturally. But the energy is there, the energy of the factor of awakening of energy, carrying the practice. Just because it feels like we're not making the effort doesn't mean that the energy isn't flowing and connected and supporting the practice. Saito calls this distinction the distinction between personal effort, those times when we do need to use that mental formation of a sense of self to engage with the practice. Not all senses of self get in our way. Sometimes they help us to engage. So personal effort, when that personal effort is directed towards skillfulness, That's the work that we do. And as that work gains momentum, there's this place or this point where we begin to feel that we're being carried. We're being carried by mindfulness and wisdom. And it can feel effortless at that point. But at this point, Sayadaw calls this Dhamma effort. Really, the wisdom is making the effort there. The energy of the factors of awakening, the activities of the factors of awakening, the joy has engagement, the tranquility actually has engagement, concentration and equanimity engage, and they are carrying the practice with wisdom. So wisdom makes the effort at that point. And so it feels effortless. We're not having to do it anymore. So in that place of effortlessness, perhaps there can be at times when we notice that, and there is that sense of being carried by the practice, again, useful to check in. Maybe not consciously. I mean, sometimes when that's happening, what I've found, at least in my own practice, when there is that strong momentum, the idea of checking the attitude does not even arise. Because the mind is in such a wholesome state, it doesn't need to check the attitude. It's already there. Those factors are already present. And yet there's a place in practice where it can be useful when it feels like there's some momentum to check in. What's in the mind with this momentum? To get familiar with these qualities. Because that does support their nourishment.